It is 11 minutes past 8 and therefore time for us to dive into our conversation with Jody Alamaya. Very excited for this one. South African Cities Network was established in 02. It's a network of cities and partners trying to encourage the exchange of information to help us drive ourselves forward. They include the likes of Cape Town, Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, eThekwini, Buffalo City, Nelson Mandela Bay, Mangaung, amongst others, and Msunduzi, which was pre-Demaritzburg and Tshwane, trying to reach better goals of productivity, inclusion, and sustainable and spatially transformed cities. The fifth State of South African Cities report has been released, and Jody herself has contributed to that on Cape Town. Very excited to hear from you. Welcome back to the show, Jody. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me again, Rafilwe.
Of course. You obviously contributed to this report, and some of the areas is where we seem to stand out in Cape Town is that we seem to stand out from others from an air pollution, water pollution, littering and land degradation perspective. Tell us a bit about that.
So, Rafilwe, just to jump in here, the report is written by South African Cities Network. They sort of collect all the information across the board on the different themes. And I think it would be great to have someone from the South African Cities Network who worked in detail on the different chapters and is sort of familiar with all the different chapters. I contributed on the productive cities chapter, which is the chapter on the economic performance of the different cities. So I'm best positioned to answer questions on that chapter specifically.
By all means, please share your perspectives.
Sure. So the theme for this is each time the South African Cities Network takes on this mammoth task of pulling together the report on the state of our cities, it takes on a different theme. And this year's theme was cooperative governance, and really sort of expanding our definition of governance from being just about sort of good governance in the traditional sense of, you know, well governed from a financial perspective and that sort of thing, to really recognizing that our cities are facing a host of really complex societal issues, sustainability issues, economic issues, and that our legislative frameworks, in the way in which they set out our functions and mandates to act on these issues, require that we govern in a cooperative way, both intergovernmentally as well as with the whole of society, with non-state actors, civil society actors and private sector actors. So we had to look at each of the themes in the report from that perspective and really sort of unpack how our cities are taking on the challenges that they're facing from these, you know, in terms of governing in a whole of society approach. And economic development is not a new issue for cities to be facing. It's a relatively mature space where, you know, for a long time, municipalities, in particular metro municipalities, have had platforms, local economic development platforms and teams dedicated, and there's been a sort of a community of practice working in this space. So there are areas where there are established sort of partnerships and things like that. And some of those areas are places like sharing of data across different parts of government, and a lot of credit to women like Kirsten Pearson and Karen Harrison and Shirley Robertson, who've sort of like really driven some important data sharing programs and things like that. And then, of course, at a very local level, there are some examples in cities, and Cape Town really sort of stands out in that regard, where we've had examples like the Cape Town Partnership and City Improvement Districts and Greater Tigerberg Partnership and things like that, which are examples of place-based economic development partnership initiatives that focus on a spatial development initiative that has economic development returns. And there's a lot more said in the chapter about the different types of economic development partnerships. Of course, we can't talk about economic development in our context without talking about inequality and the sort of underlying exclusion from our economies. Yeah.
I think we have just a little bit of time for us to actually talk about the findings. But I guess my big question is, the more that I look, and inequality is definitely the theme for Cape Town when it comes to economics. And that plays out in every other I know you may have focused only on one area, but it plays out in every single one, right?
Yes.
Pollution, littering, social impact. One of the things, for example, and I'm not sure if it's touched on in the report and whether economics plays into this. Well, I know it does, but if it does from your perspective, gang and other violence is really on a, it feels to me as though it's intensifying in less affluent neighborhoods, and probably exacerbated by where we are economically deep in the pandemic in the SA. Mm-hmm. Are any of those, because it seems idiosyncratic to Cape Town, of all the cities that are covered, the extent to which it is just a part of our day-to-day life, is any of that sort of covered?
So I think there's a few chapters that will touch on social vulnerability and criminality, and there's a chapter on inclusion specifically, and then the productivity chapter focuses on economic inclusion directly. And I think crime and gangsterism takes different forms in different cities. So we have a particular type of gangsterism in Cape Town, but there are different forms of criminal networks and social vulnerability that pops up in different ways. In Etiquette, for example, there's a different form, but it's present. And I think that the important point from a productive cities perspective is that every resident in a city, people come to cities, people migrate to cities all around the world because they are seeking an opportunity to be productive, to earn an income that allows them to live a reasonable life. And when our balance of the gains of productivity is not being distributed across society in a way that allows people to access the gains of that productivity, they will seek other ways to allow them to live a reasonable life. And there's a lot of mechanisms in our society that are perpetuating exclusion. There is, within individual firms, mechanisms that keep certain people earning very, very low and other people earning very, very high. And there's mechanisms that are keeping certain firms holding a very strong position in our economy and making it very difficult for new entrants to break in. And there's spatial mechanisms that hold entire parts of our cities far away from access to meaningful participation in sort of growth and gains in productivity in parts of our city where there is growth or where there has been very low growth in some parts of us in some metros. So where that is the situation, we have to be able to recognize those structural barriers to inclusion. And our economic growth policy has to intervene in those structural barriers. It cannot simply be, okay, well, we're going to grow the economy. We have to recognize that there is those three types of inequality and intervene in those three types of inequality. Otherwise, people will be driven to find access to a means of living productively in some form in an urban environment.
Jody, what happens to a report like this, besides us talking about it on the radio? I mean, do you pitch it directly to policymakers? Do you pitch it to corporations? Or I know I'm using pitch loosely. I know that you're a thinker, not a seller. But do you know what I mean? And does that get taken on board? Or is this just a way of them saying, and we are thinking about these things, and then just carrying on doing the same?
No, so again, I don't speak on, I'm just an author for South African Cities Network, but they do, I mean, South African Cities Network is a network where member cities regularly convene to discuss this sort of research and advance their practices and their policy processes and things like that. And the team from South African Cities Network are on a roadshow to take this work around the country.
Okay.
And engage with their members, and also to engage with peers from other parts of government, not just metro government leaders. So it definitely doesn't stop for them at an online publication, and certainly for authors, you know, some are academics and some are practitioners, but we certainly don't stop at sort of writing and sending it off. We all take these thoughts into our respective spaces as well. They don't write it once every 5 years and then leave it there. It becomes material that they will use in their network engagements.
Okay.
With their
for sure. I mean, we hope we see it play out in our lives is where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Jody Alamaya, always a pleasure to get your brilliant insights. Independent city strategist, 21 minutes past 8.